Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is one of those portions of Scripture I realized in order to get through 2 Timothy in a timely manner that ultimately you realize these passages, probably 10 sermons in these verses. Let me read starting at verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher. And for this reason I also suffer these things, and I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among those who are Philegius and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy on the house of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not alarmed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what service he rendered at Ephesus. The theme of today is the issue of not being ashamed. He brings it up multiple times in this passage. There's some deep theology in this passage as to the nature of the gospel. There's deep practical stuff as to how Paul saw his life. And there's a great words of encouragement of people like Onesimus, who was able to come, and he was not ashamed of Paul and his chains and sought him out and was providing care. But today I feel that the focus ought to be on the issue of not being ashamed. The year was 1980. The author of this little poem was a man in Rwanda, and frankly, Rwanda was not a place you wanted to hang out in the 80s. He was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. He refused to renounce Christ and was killed on the spot. And when they went to his house, it's reported that they found this written down in his diary. It was made famous by a man named Bob Moorhead, who wrote it in a book called Words Aptly Spoken in 1995. Here's the words to the Fellowship of the Unashamed. So this is written before the night before he would be killed for his faith. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I won't look back, let up, or slow down. Back away or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. Pace is set, my pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, until give until I drop, preach until I know all, to all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me because my colors will be clear. Wow, this is staggering. How easy in the temptation for us to want to just blend in, right? Same thing. I mean, I think there's part of us, there's part of our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. There's part of it that really seems to never grow any older than about age 14. Now, I'm not picking on 14-year-olds because I was one, and I didn't do very good at age 14, frankly. But I do know this. I had a whole list of things I said I would never do, and I did them because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be the life of the party. Well, I'm sure glad Gary's here because he makes everyone laugh. I wanted to be the person. I didn't ever want to be left out. And when I came to Christ, I had a decision to make. And I could not have put it this way, but I do remember the day where I determined if I was going to be bold for that as a high school student, bold for being the crazy guy, the life of the party, the greatest athlete, or whatever it was I was trying to do, then why not throw that zeal into the hands of the Lord? So my senior year of high school, I determined I would do a couple things. One, I made out of a piece of redwood burl, I made a cross, and I wore it. And then I got a little Bible like this. It was a Gideon Bible. And I got a piece of leather, and I glued it on to that, and I had it in my back pocket. And so every day of high school, I had my Bible with me. Now, I'm not sharing this, pat myself on the back like I'm some kind of super saint. I wasn't. But here's what I know is that I was lost and I had been found. I was blind and now I could see. I didn't always get it right with my friends because ultimately I wanted them to be saved too, right? And so I would invite them to youth group. I invite them to camps. Every time I had the opportunity to invite, I would do that. But I unwisely kind of pulled away from them. I needed to separate myself from the toxic stuff, right? Didn't make any sense to go out to some big drinking party out in somebody's ranch, not knowing how I'd get home. But maybe I was, in a sense, unwisely zealous at times. I never forget one of the days one of my best friends would show up with a white robe on, and he brought a friend too, and he showed up at a youth group, and I said, John, what are you doing here? Because I'd shared with John every chance I had, and he comes in a mocking way, says, I've come to find Jesus just like you. Well, I realized this, and I thought about that. You see, what I had done in my zeal for Christ, I wasn't wise enough to figure out, yes, I've shared with John, and I had to find ways that I can interact with John, my friend, in ways that weren't compromising, but still ways that I loved him and included him in my life. And it wasn't until 10 years later that I would see him at my high school reunion. He would go on to get a degree in engineering at Davis, and he got tired of being an engineer, so he went off to Saudi Arabia and made a lot of money in the oil fields, and then came back and went back to Davis and got his degree in winemaking. His parents had a beautiful vineyard up on Boonville Road. And the Spirit of God kept telling me, you need to talk to John. And it wasn't until our 10th reunion that I would ask John if I could talk to him. And I did so, and I said, John, I've been wanting to say this to you for 10 years. Please forgive me. I want you to know Jesus. I wanted you to know Jesus, you know, when we were 16, 17. And I think my zeal pushed you away. I just want to let you know that I love you and I still want you to know the Lord. But you're my friend no matter what. Friends, we can't be ashamed of the gospel. We can't be ashamed of sharing with that with our friends. But here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to plant the seed in your mind that there are many ways to God. So don't press it. This Bible, written thousands of years ago, it's not authoritative. It's just some good words. You can pick and choose. The Bible says, don't be ashamed. It says this, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. In Romans, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So we want to talk about that today. What does it mean to be ashamed? It means basically to shrink back in embarrassment, or to be embarrassed. We see a picture of it here. Look here at verse 15. You are aware of the fact that all who were in Asia turned away from me. That's the counterpoint. All right? Don't be ashamed. And it says those, the way they did, they turned away. They refused to associate with me. You ever felt ashamed of yourself? Sure you have. You ever felt ashamed of others? Sure, because maybe they let you down. Maybe they did something embarrassing. When I was a senior in high school, maybe a freshman in college, I'm in church and all of a sudden this crazy man walks in, starts screaming, gets up front and says they're Jesus, and starts being foul. And to my shock, I knew exactly who it was. It was my uncle who struggled with mental illness. I was ashamed of my uncle. Ashamed to say, yeah, that's my uncle, you know. Even more so, his daughters, my cousins, were there. And friends, we understand all of that, but here's what the Bible is saying. Everyone look here. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. What did he ever do something to be ashamed of? Right? Other than suffer and die for you, and love you, and pour out his grace on you. So part of it is this, is that we realize where does this all come from? Well, we know in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, we get a little bit of a hint of it. It says this, chapter 2, verse 24, 25. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, in verse 25. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They were in the garden in their birthday suits, and they're having communication and companionship with God, their Creator, and with one another. All right, and they were not ashamed. But the fall happens. They ate from the tree they weren't supposed to eat from. And the next thing that happens is this. God comes and they're hiding from him. That's what it means. They're hiding from him. Shrinking back. I want to exhort those who are younger than I am. Maybe you're just about ready to graduate from high school. You're going to go on to college, university, or something. You are going to be tested straight away. with if you are ashamed of Jesus? Will you be named with Jesus' name? Don't be ashamed. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If the world's going to know, they're going to know because we are the fellowship of the unashamed. Right? We live in one of the most messed up counties in the whole state of California, in the whole country. I didn't make that up. The statistics are there, glaring. And we somehow grope around, the world does, trying to figure out how to solve things. Well, the solution is the gospel. So why should be ashamed of it? You know, if you go to buy something in Nordstrom's, I don't usually, but if you wanted to. So you're going to go buy a prom dress at Nordstrom's. Did you know that a very large percentage of the price you're paying for that prom dress is the amount that they are adding to it because of theft from stuff at Nordstrom's? That's the same thing at Kmart or Walmart or wherever. And the world says, well, what is the world's solution to theft? Well, it doesn't really have one. I mean, it's always been there. You know what the Bible says? It says, to the thief, stop stealing and become a giver. You can't even do that. You can't do that without the power of God. And here's what it says. It's the gospel according to the power of God. Why do I stand here today? People shocked. Man, here's this kid, long-haired, dope-smoking hippie kid who came to Christ in Ukiah, 1974. What's he doing being the pastor of that same church 20 years later? It's the power of God. And God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I am that person. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. So we want to read here and wrap this up as to what it says. First of all, it said, do not be ashamed of Jesus. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. All right. People ask you, hey, we're going to go do this on Sunday. And you can say, I remember people asking, hey, we're going to go do this. And person said, well, I can't come. Why not? Well, I'm going to church. Like you're embarrassed by it. Did you know that one of the terrible things that's happening in our nation right now, they've investigated and they polled people, it is the level of loneliness in the lives of people, specifically those who are of age 15 to 35. Feel lonely. Now, if you look at senior citizens, they feel lonely. And some of them say, well, I don't have a solution, so I'm going to end my life. Or I'm going to drown it out with drugs. Or whatever. Is that a solution? No, we have the solution. Why am I here today? Well, I'm a pastor, you know. You'd probably miss me if I didn't show up, you know. But here's what I know. I need you. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Next, I'm not ashamed of His gospel. Let's here. First of all, it says, I'm not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And then he goes on, I'm also not ashamed of God's people. Paul says, don't be ashamed of me. Because that's basically what he's talking about. And he goes on to talk about the gospel, or the gospel according to the power who saved us, called us to a holy calling according to his work, according to his own purpose and grace, was granted in Christ Jesus before all eternity. You know that the cross of Jesus Christ was plan A, not plan B. He chose to save you before all eternity. And now has been revealed and appeared to our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so, first of all, don't be ashamed of Jesus. What did he ever do to be ashamed of? Nothing. He loved you, created you, and bought you back. Next, don't be ashamed of his plan. What is his plan? The plan is the gospel. So here's part of that I understand. My life really needs to be defined by the gospel. Right? The gospel says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. It says that we must repent, we must turn from these ways, and by God's grace we turn and we throw ourselves at His mercy. He then, by His grace, changes us, makes us His own. Tells me in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, that He did all those things. He sacrificed for us, and He is not ashamed to call you His brethren. You know that God's not ashamed of you? Amazing. So, we're not ashamed of Jesus, and we shouldn't be ashamed of His gospel. Now, will there be a temptation to be ashamed of His gospel? Sure, because we believe, the Bible says, and it's part of God's purpose, that people are in a broken relationship with God through sin, and that sin leads to death and to dysfunction. And so the issue then is, we believe then the solution to dysfunction is not simply to stand on the street corner down by the post office and rail at people, you dirty, no good sinners, you know, but to realize this, no one gets fixed unless God does the fixing. Now, you may be helped by going to a doctor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You may be helpful by being tutored and mentored by someone who helps you. You may be helped greatly by going to someone who helps you with financial planning or something like that. But here's what I have to tell you. The core is that mankind is broken and God can fix us. That's the good news. So why be ashamed of that? When your friend stands up and says, you're a Christian, ha, ha, ha. Well, they're just being ignorant. They're lost. They're blind. And you were that way at some point. So we're, first of all, we're not ashamed of our Savior. And we're not also ashamed of His servants. Paul specifically saying, listen, everyone's deserted me. Everyone has pulled back from me. And he's saying to Timothy, don't do that. He's not saying that Timothy was doing it. He says, don't do that. In fact, he's begging Timothy, hey, you share in my sufferings. It's worth it. So not only we're not backing off ashamed of our Savior or our salvation, that's the gospel, or His servants, or our service. Look what Paul says here. For which I was appointed or called a preacher, get these three, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Okay? A preacher is one who conveys the message of the king. That's the wording for it. An apostle is one sent out with orders on behalf of a king. And a teacher is one who shows men the way to salvation and tells men how they can come to know the king. All right? It's all a kingly thing. He's the king, you're not. Right? So the question is, are you embarrassed by your king? I got to tell you, sometimes I'm embarrassed by our politicians. I still pray for them, and I'm supposed to honor them. I can't think of one reason why I could be ashamed of Jesus. So we're not ashamed of our service. And here's what he says. Man, this is powerful. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Why? Get this. For I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. I know Him. I don't know about Him. I can't, you know, it's not about winning Jeopardy or Trivial Pursuit on how many hairs were on Jesus' head or how many miles did He walk. No, I know Him. I know whom I believed. You know, it's very interesting here. I start thinking, that Timothy has been told by Paul already, he has been entrusted with something precious. He's been entrusted with the gospel. He's been entrusted with gifts. But now here's what Paul is saying. Get this. I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted unto him. So what in the world have we entrusted to God? The answer is everything. Everything. Our dreams, our aspirations, our own soul, our time, our talents, our treasures. I once had a youth, when I was a youth pastor for 17 years, say, they were very concerned. They thought, why in the world are you a tither? Because with that same amount of money, you could buy like a brand new car every 3 years. They just don't get it. Friends, he's entrusted it to me, and now I entrust it back to him. My time, my talent, my whole life. Do I wish life was easier sometimes? So, do I wish sometimes it wasn't such a rocky road? Yeah, I do. But we're all on a rocky road, aren't we? And if it's not rocky yet, it's going to be rocky at some point. Why? Because the world around us is on a rocky road. And if God wanted you to walk hovering above it with no challenges, then who can relate to that? But here's what they can relate to, is that they can see that God is able. Look at, it was 40 plus years ago. I graduated from high school. I still get calls and interactions with my schoolmates. And you know, one of the things they want to know, I wonder if Gary's still walking with Jesus. The answer is yes, I am. Grandparents, what's the significance of your role in your grandkids' life? You may be 70, 80, 90, 100. You're still walking with Jesus. You're still walking with Jesus through arthritis. You're still walking with Jesus even though you can't drive anymore and someone took away your license. You're still walking with Jesus because you're not ashamed of him. Friend, that's the solution. Is a generation that's not ashamed of Jesus. Churches all around this county, not ashamed of Jesus. So it says, he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What day? The day that he returns. You can trust him. He goes on to retain the same standard of sound words which you have heard from me, and in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Now the word entrusted is here again. First, we entrust to God our lives, and then he entrusts us a treasure. What is the treasure? The treasure is the gospel. Right? The treasure is the gospel. Friends, there's no more precious thing than be a man or a woman, a young person, who's not ashamed of the gospel. Doesn't mean you ram it down people's throats. You use wisdom, love, and tact. But don't be ashamed. Why? Because it is the only power of God unto salvation. It is the solution. Jesus is the solution. So let's start living that way. I love this example. It's an old Indian proverb of the story of this guy who had to go down to the river every day to carry water. And so he had a pole and he had two big clay pots on it. He'd go down to the river and he'd fill up one pot, he'd fill up the other pot. Then he walked back to his village and unfortunately what happened, one of the pots developed a small crack. And by the time he got up to the village, it was half empty. Well, years later, that pot started feeling real bad about itself. It's going, man, the other pot's filled all the time, and you have to work so much harder. I'm just a worthless pot. And the owner was finally pulled the other pot aside and said, listen, let me tell you, I know you got a crack, but every day when I walk, that water pours out, And I know that, so along the way I planted flower seeds, and now there's flowers on your side of the path. And I'm able to pick them and bring them to the master. Friends, we're all cracked pots. Right? Friends, the world's full of cracked pots. There are all kinds of troubles and challenges that are going on in their lives. Throw their hands up, there's no hope, I'll go kill myself. That's a lie from hell. And some of you have been there. Maybe you're there even today. That's a lie. In the darkest, darkest place, Jesus is there. You get to the bottom of your pit, he's there. Don't be ashamed of that. You're going to be the person who brings salvation to someone. It's not going to be angels. It's primarily not going to be pastors. It's going to be you. There's an old song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. It's based on this text. Based on the text that I know whom I believed and I know he's able to keep what I've committed until that day. Let me tell you a little the story of this song in closing. Written by Daniel Whittle, who enlisted in the 72nd Illinois Infantry during the Civil War and headed to the bloodiest conflict in American history. He was wounded in the Battle of Vicksburg, taken as a prisoner, and he was taken to a prison camp, and he ultimately had his arm amputated, okay? He's sitting there, and he's bored, and he looks through his rucksack and remembers, because they didn't take that from him, that his mother, who was a believer, and he wasn't a believer, left a little Bible, a New Testament, in his rucksack. Being bored, he had nothing else to do, so he began to read it. He ran it. He read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He read all the way to Revelation. He got to the end. He said, well, I might as well start again. He read it through again. Then as he was reading, and he knew then the plan of salvation. He said, I know the plan of salvation. It's abundantly clear. It's through Jesus Christ, I must surrender to him. He said, well, I'm going to read it again. As he's reading again, an orderly came and said, listen, there's a man who's dying, and he was part of your company. And he's dying, and he needs someone to come and pray for him, pray with him. And the orderly says, I can't pray for him. I'm a wicked person. I'm not a believer. And the guy, Daniel Whittle, says, oh, I'm as wicked as you are. He says, yeah, but you're reading the Bible. Would you please come? And this guy comes down. He takes his Bible, and this is his story about this hymn. He says he went down with his Bible, he knelt by that guy's cot, and the Spirit of God said, how can you help him if you're not helped yourself? He says right there before that guy's cot, he prayed, asked Christ to forgive his sins, be the Lord of his life. And as he prayed that out loud, he shared that with this young man in the cot, prayed with him, and that young man died. It was years later that he would write this hymn, I Know Whom I Believed. Friends, I don't know about that. I mean, I believe it to be a true story. That ultimately this, God has placed into my hands, entrusted to me, the treasure of the good news of Christ. We cannot be ashamed of that. We ought to seize that. We ought to say, man, I'm in. Jesus, I'm in. You're the king, I'm not. And that we know who we believe. He's not just some figment of our imagination. He's the God who created us. We know him, and we can entrust our lives, our dreams, everything into his hands. You can do it. And I stand as a witness to that. Some of you are older in the Lord than I am. You can double down and say, yep, he's been faithful to me. Don't be ashamed. We're going to sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. If you don't know this song, you get to learn it because it's been around for a long time, been around since the Civil War. So we ought to probably learn this one, all right? Let's stand together and sing this wonderful song. We ready? I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. And I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'd walk a veil with him or meet him in the air. For I know who I am believing and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Amen. Here's what it says. Verse 8 starts with therefore. What's it therefore? It says, rekindle afresh the gifts of God within you, for you have not been given a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, don't be ashamed. Let's live in the fellowship of the unashamed. Heavenly Father, take us from this time that we would be strong for you, never ashamed. Lord, when the temptation comes to be ashamed, we may push back with the truth. Push back that you are not ashamed of us, that you purchased us. We belong to you. And we know, Lord, that you have put a treasure within us, and that treasure is the good news of salvation to every man, woman, and child who will receive it. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.